Hello, everybody, and welcome to Actually Comics for this Wednesday, December 12th.
Nice.
Of 2018.
Hi.
I'm Tristan.
Oh, sorry. I talked too soon. I'm Bob.
It works either way.
I'm just stumbling all over you.
God damn it. So we have comics to talk about.
Oh,
we have
so many.
This is a spectacularly gigantic week for comics, so we're picking and choosing here. But there's a couple of big elephants in the room that need to get out of the way, so we'll talk about those first.
Okay, I just want to talk about this specific one
first. I do too.
And then there's actually, we picked the good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of crazy, there's just a crazy amount of comics. Batman Damned, number two, book two, is literally, I think, the dumbest thing I've read in my life.
Yeah, I hate
Capsule Review.
I hate to start this out with a negative, but I have to agree with that synopsis. It is unbelievably, like, I'm actually shocked at how much I hated this book.
Etrigan rapping is literally just like someone editorial.
It's the worst.
My pocket thing that the editorial staff at DC really doesn't ever do anything is like someone was like, yeah, definitely do that. It's abysmally, it's like embarrassingly bad. But I mean, the art is nice and it's a book. Anyway, it came out and I just wanted to say that I think it's really stupid.
Yeah, not a fan, but whatever.
Anyway, but there's also good stuff.
Yep. We might stay plugged in, but we'll see.
Oh, yes.
Probably not.
We're being visited.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. They're about to go away.
Narrating the.
we're narrating the unplugging of the computer by the cat.
There's a cat.
Okay, we got it.
He's become interested in a dollar.
Okay, but he's over here now.
Okay.
We're good.
All right.
Let's talk about William Gibson's script for Alien 3. We're at issue 2 now, and all sorts of hell's breaking loose, and it's awesome, and you know what? Whatever. This book is great.
It looks really cool. I didn't read it. I just flipped it, but it's cool. All the heavy hitters from the Alien movie are in it, and it's like a slice of what might have happened had movie choices been made differently.
Yes. Specifically allowing Newt and Hicks to live.
Yeah. And lots of other cool stuff.
Yep.
I thought it looked good. I don't know why these are in this order.
I don't either.
In fact, let's
talk about something that I don't even see here. I want to talk about Batman Who Laughs, number one.
Oh, that's here.
It's somewhere.
Right
here. It was
if you had just had patience, it would have happened in two comic books.
Well, good enough.
Yeah.
I want to talk about it now.
Yeah.
So this book is out. I will admit that I am very confused by it. Some things happen in this that make me wonder. It seems as though it can't be taking place in the regular DC universe, but maybe it is.
I don't think it is.
Okay. I'm going to say it probably isn't because it doesn't make any sense that it would be.
Yeah. There's a part where they stab a character in the face with an axe that is a character that you would think that wouldn't happen to.
Fair enough. But also... there is I wasn't a huge fan of this one. It's got some cool things that happen. There's some interesting stuff going on. It's definitely got some moments, but what's probably going to be most important for people is that it does appear that there is a first appearance of a new Batman character. So I think that's going to be something for people. It's the Grim Knight, this like gun toting crazy alternate universe version of Batman.
Okay, is that all right? I saw the gun-toting Batman. I wasn't sure if it was the Batman Who Laughed in disguise,
nope,
or if it was a different Batman.
No, he brought this Batman along with him.
This is Snyder is doing a lot of alternate universe stuff, and it is
a little confusing.
Yeah, I thought it was actually a lot confusing, but think it was a bad looking comic book. It just, this is one of those ones that's like, I'm not going to say anything else negative, but this is a book that is not aimed at I.
Yep.
But
I think people are going to be stoked about it.
Scott Snyder, Jock, it'll probably, be popular. Cool. People like that Batman who's a Joker.
And let's talk about Fred Hembeck's best comic ever.
It's not his best ever, but I am psyched to see Fred Hembeck in this. This is the Fantastic Four Wedding Special?
Yes, it is.
Wedding Special, because The Thing and Alicia Masters are getting married in the Fantastic Four comic book, and this is a tie-in. Gail Simone is one of the writers. Dan Slott. There's a backup. This one, if you're a Fantastic Four aficionado, I would recommend checking out the second story in this. The first story is a bachelorette party for Alicia. And then the second story is The Thing. It's drawn by Mark Buckingham, who drew Fables.
Yeah.
Amazing artist who I haven't seen
all
a lot.
Of the art in this is really good.
Oh, man. This guy, like...
The way that he draws the what's his name? The puppet master?
The puppet master. He looks very like Jack Kirby
drew him. Super creepy.
The Thing looks like Jack Kirby drew him, too. Also, The Thing is wearing a suit, and it's like drawing suits is actually really hard. Something Steve Ditko was actually really good at, and also Mark Buckingham is amazing at. The Thing is wearing a suit. He asks the puppet master, who will be his father-in-law, for his blessing to marry his daughter. And it's a very interesting twist at the end of that. I liked it. Nice little short story.
I would love to see him writing, or I mean, drawing more Marvel books.
Anything. He used to draw Batman. It was really good. For like 5 minutes, he drew Batman. He's amazing. He could draw anything. I love seeing that he's back. He hasn't drawn. I haven't seen his work. I guess he had done some Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah. So good.
He's great.
Avengers number 11 is out this week as well.
I liked it
a lot.
It was good.
There's some crazy stuff going on with Coulson in this one, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it was hard to understand, but cool.
And there's a crazy date with She-Hulk and Thor, which is fun. And
yes. They go to the Savage Land.
And they go to the Savage Land to watch dinosaurs fight.
I think Thor and She-Hulk as a romantic couple.
A power couple.
Yeah, all right. Is cool. The thing with Coulson, you know, and we talked about two books that we didn't understand. I didn't understand what was going on with Coulson, but in the good way, where it's like, I want to understand what's going on, because it's like there's this mystery character. Yeah. It's like, who is this? But then maybe it isn't anybody. Who do you know? I don't know.
Right.
It's
no, cool. this definitely, there's something going on that's crazy, and it's like, oh, I can't wait to find out what this thing is.
That's good writing. That's good storytelling.
Absolutely.
So Goddess Mode is a new Vertigo number one.
From Robbie Rodriguez. And Zoe Quinn.
Spider-Gwen fame. And then she is an author, like a book author, I guess. Zoe Quinn. And it's like witches in a cybernetic kind of world. And it looked interesting on that level. It was a little much for me, like, because we're skimming, doing a lot of skimming. I apologize for not.
I gotta say, I don't know that it's, I don't know that it's the fact that you skimmed it. I feel like this just wasn't for me.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know that it's bad. I think it really was not aimed at me.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad at all.
I don't think I have a horse in this particular race, so I don't think I can really judge it.
That's one of those things where it's like, yeah, and I mean, ultimately, like, I kind of struggle with, like, I'm not really here to, like, judge stuff. I'm just saying, like, this is a thing that came out.
But I would say that if you were a fan of the Gem and the Holograms books, I mean, to a lesser extent, probably Wicked and Divine. It's got a bit of Kieran Gillen kind of Wicked and Divine stuff, except that it's a lot more neon and a lot more visually confusing than Wicked and Divine. It's like cyberpunky. It's got this like Blade Runner-y type thing going on, but it's just like there's something about the color vomit that they're using, and that sounds very dismissive. It's not. It's gorgeous. The problem is that the pages look beautiful, but it makes it very difficult to follow the story for me. I had a hard time figuring out what direction to read in on those pages when they start getting super neon and super flashy. But God, they're really beautiful. The coloring in that book is gorgeous.
Yeah, this is... I would say fans of Wicked and Divine would be like the target maybe for this. Interesting
to a considerably lesser extent, probably Saga.
Sure, I feel like if I actually sat down with it, it's probably there's more to it than
I mean.
Just
Robbie Rodriguez can write, you know.
He's the artist.
Oh,
she's the Zoe.
I thought that he was the one that wrote. Didn't he write Spider-Gwen?
No, he's the artist.
He was the artist for Spider-Gwen.
Yes.
Oh,
he's
well
the
then
designer of Spider-Gwen.
Yeah, I didn't
probably
care for the art of Spider-Man.
It got like I liked where it started out. I actually really like the art on this.
The art in this is very cool.
Coloring is cool. It's just the story is Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to sound like I'm being shitty. It's a complex. New number one. It's cool. Speaking of good art, there was also a Mr. and Mrs. X, number six, had really good art, I thought, too. It had the former artist of the Wolverine, the all-new Wolverine, David Lopez. And Kelly Thompson is writing it, and it's Rogue and Gambit, and they are returning from their honeymoon to reunite with the X-Men. And that's what happens in that issue.
Nice. This is so.
Ooh,
I will say,
oh,
in
this I didn't get
on our negative train. I will say, Marvel needs to calm down with the Spider titles.
Yeah.
Six Spider-Man books in 1 week is too much for anybody.
Mm. Especially when some of them don't make it much sense.
You see, well, that's the problem. Is that this one is my favorite one of the week.
Mm.
Peter Parker Spectacular 313 is the big tie-in to the Spider-Geddon series. Miles and Peter both got trapped at the Bronx Zoo, I think, is where they were. Chased by an inheritor, you know, they get in, like, they wind up hiding in this locked room. He realizes that it's where they keep the animal tranquilizers, so he outfits himself and, like, cables himself up with a bunch of animal tranquilizers and a bandolier and goes nice. Out to try and knock out the inheritor that's trying to eat them. That's about it.
Yeah, it was fun.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it took me a second to figure out, like, because it's just overall the storyline is kind of confusing because there's so many versions of the same character running around. It's hard to tell which one is which. But once I understood who it was, I thought it was clever. And Spider-Geddon. There were other Spider-Geddon tie-ins that came out this week as well, including Ghost Spider and Spider-Girls and another
Spider-Force.
Force. Yes. I don't know. I didn't read those.
But as far as things that I really am digging, Spider-Man 11,
yeah.
I feel like this has finally kind of started catching up to like where I love Rotley's art. Like, I think it's great.
Hmm.
I just I wanted the story to be as cohesive as my love for his art. And I wanted them to kind of come together and kind of start feeling like it was, I don't know, just like a regular Spider book. And I think this was it. I think this was when I started really digging on the Spider book. So
yeah, I liked the last one, and this one was decent too.
Yep, I think that was
all right. Now we're starting to edge into the stuff where it's going to get less and less negative, I think. This is just the accidental order that it got placed in. I apologize.
Sorry, everybody.
They've already stopped listening.
X-Men Red.
X-Men it's Red. Great. It is awesome. I will say, actually, X-Men Red is super awesome. I loved it. It's the last issue of the series. Tom Taylor had a couple books this week. This is the last of his X-Men run. It's the culmination of the battle against Cassandra Nova, and there's some really cool turnarounds, whatever, like how they fight
payoffs.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It was fun. I liked it, and the art was good.
Awesome. Another thing, something that actually has kind of gotten to the point where I now actually understand kind of what's going on, and I'm kind of enjoying it. House of Whispers.
Cool.
It's still not my favorite book in the Sandman universe. In fact, I think it's actually my least favorite of all of them. But they definitely are starting to win me over, obviously, by putting Goldie in the book. That doesn't hurt. I really dug the fact that he showed up, because I'm a huge fan of The Dreaming. And anytime one of the gargoyles from the House of Secrets comes by, I'm stoked, especially Goldie. And he's like kind of being like a weird little like Groot character for them, which is kind of fun because he can't really speak English and they're just kind of saying what he's saying. And it adds a little bit of levity to what is otherwise a pretty heavy book.
Mm.
It has so far been kind of, I don't want to say that it's like joyless or anything, but it's not as fun as it could be. Like, I think they could address this same stuff and still have this book be a little more fun. But it's well written. It's just not, it's my least favorite of the Sandman books. If you had to drop one, I'd say this one.
I thought the art was really cool in this.
But Book of Magic is great.
Love it.
Sandman is great. All of them. Lucifer is great. All of the new ones are great, including this one. This one just, I think, is the weakest. Or is the one that I would be less likely to pick up. Again, this one, especially because it is a very cultural kind of book, it may just really not be aimed at me. It is very steeped in cultural traditions and may just be, I might just be too white for this book.
So, I actually didn't read it. I just flipped through it. I thought the art was good.
Yeah, it's the art is great.
I didn't follow the original series. So
this one, it's a little confusing to me as well, but I do like it. It's just, again, it's kind of, it feels like a little bit more of a downer than the rest of them, where it's not, it's just, it doesn't have as much levity, I guess.
Speaking of too much levity, I don't know if that's true. Sasquatch Detective from DC. I think this is a collection of backups from Snagglepuss. And it's the Sasquatch Detective.
If you are a furry that likes Sasquatches, this is a book for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think these are fun little stories. It's a cool collection of these stories.
Yeah.
America's number one missing link is no longer missing, says the cover.
Yeah, it's a gigantic collection. It's practically trade-sized.
Yeah. 64 pages.
Yeah, so that's a pretty big chunk. Mm. It's cool. I would say if you liked Zootopia, if you were a fan of that movie, this definitely has that same type of... this has that same feel to it.
Cool. It's got a definitely like a Disney kind of looking design sense.
All right.
You'll have to talk about this one.
Infinity Wars Sleepwalker. I mean, there's not much to talk about at this point. It's either you like Sleepwalker or you don't. Either you were stoked about this thing coming into existence or not. I was.
Yes.
I was very excited because I like Sleepwalker as a character. This is really delving into a lot of crazy deep cut Sleepwalker stuff, which I thought was cool. And it's the whole Infinity War crap crossover thing is just an excuse for them to do a Sleepwalker book. And I was stoked that they used it as an excuse to do a Sleepwalker book.
That's cool. I thought it was a good, I included it because A, you had said that you liked it, and also B, there were, a couple Infinity Wars, books. There was Ghost Panther, and I think there might have been another one. Look like they are kind of tying that up. So I think the Infinity Wars overall is about to wrap up. Maybe I'm wrong, but anyway, the Sleepwalker looked like one of the better installments of that overall.
Okay, so let's talk about a very important book. Spawn Kills Everyone, number 2.
Okay, I like this kind of thing. It's like a cutie Spawn, and he's just killing everything.
What's really important is that he shits out little Spawns.
He does. He does.
So he's kind of like Todd McFarlane. Hey!
Hold on, that wasn't too late. No, it wasn't a good time. It'll come, though.
Good.
It actually, my phone fell asleep too, so I wouldn't have been able to.
Either way, this is actually a very fun book.
Yeah. This is like a Scotty Young kind of, you know, like cute version of Spawn running around pooping robots and killing things.
Pooping little miniature Spawns.
Yep.
It's great.
Yep.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I thought, is this like a sketch cover?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the three covers is like a sketch cover where you can draw someone that little Spawn will be shooting.
Mm. Oh, I get it. I should pay more attention to things. Next up is Uncanny X-Men number. What are we up to?
We're up to number 5.
5 weeks. 5 weeks of weekly comics.
Yes.
This is continuing the story of the weekly X-Men comics with the Horseman of X-Man.
Yes.
And I mean, really, you know, we don't want to give away all the comic.
I mean, stuff happens. I'm just gonna say for X-Men, it's great. Period. That's all that you need to know is that it is very, very good.
The X-Men Great Alarm has gone off.
Exactly. And anything further than that would be spoilers because there's some super cool stuff that is awesome throwbacks that I was very excited about.
I dig what they're doing.
Yep.
With that X-Men comic.
I also dig what they're doing with Superman.
Yeah, this one was cool. Superman number, what is it, 6?
Superman number 6.
Number 6. And this is the end, kind of the Phantom Zone. Earth got sent to the Phantom Zone.
Yeah,
Earth got sent out of the Phantom Zone, and Superman and other guys were in this Phantom Zone and they were killing Big Rock's fighty spaceman and
Big Rock Candy Mountain, we call
Big Rock Candy Spaceman. And this issue is very like just bombastic, huge panels, and
it is.
And then there's a return, which I'm not spoiling because he's on the cover, the return of John Kent at the end. But it's not
that
a huge part
point.
Of the comic. Yeah, I'm not worried ever about spoiling something that's actually on the cover.
Good point.
Also, it's been spoiled online as well.
Yes, and also, God damn it.
X-23 was awesome.
So awesome.
I forgot to read it until the very end, and then I flipped through it, and there was like a panel of Honey Badger jumping out of a building and landing on top of the head of a robot saying KO. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool, fun art, and this storyline, they're fighting a robot assassin and the parallels between the robot assassin and their own origins as programmed assassins. Good.
Yep. Awesome.
X-23 is good.
It is.
Justice League Dark, also good.
Also very good and very exciting because there's like, I don't know, man. This book,
it's telling a linear story.
Yeah.
Like, thanks. It's this is the Justice League comic that I read.
Me too.
This is
love it.
The following up. So the Nightmaster has died and left his realm and sword to the Detective Chimp, who fucked everything up. And now Blue Devil is there also, and he's mad at the Detective Chimp. And they have to deal with it. And then it leads into the beginning of a bigger story.
Cool. Awesome. That sounds great. All right. Murder Falcon number 3.
Murder Falcon is continuing to be a murdering Falcon.
Again, if you weren't following Murder Falcon up to this point, I don't know what to tell you.
There's a whole band of people
now,
feeding the Murder Falcon now.
Yes.
Now
there's a murder band.
There's a murder band.
Great. Headlopper.
This is number 10 of the overall series. This is part 2 of 4 in the volume 3, the Headlopper and the Knights of Venora. This is a castle under siege storyline with art by, I mean, obviously the whole thing is by Andrew McLean. If you, well, may not be obvious. Andrew McLean is awesome. This book is awesome. And there's a lot more characters than there were just the beginning. But man, I dig Headlopper. It's one of my favorite books.
Awesome.
It's great. And this was really fun.
Yeah.
Did you read this?
I did.
Okay. The Batman comic that is good.
Wow.
I shouldn't say that is good, but
no,
this Batman
comic
is
too.
Really good. Batman Detective Comics is the new run by Peter Tomasi and Doug Monk. 994, counting down to Detective Comics 1000. It's a first chapter murder mystery involving the death of Batman's parents.
Yes.
It was it was really good. The art was super good. The story is a little bit on the metaphysical side of things, which is not always my favorite for Batman stuff, but we'll see where it goes. The overall mystery was compelling. I want to know what's going on, and it's just looks good.
I didn't read this.
Okay, I totally read this, and
awesome.
It was awesome. So Tom Taylor, writer of X-Men Red,
yes,
did a Batman annual with one of my favorite modern DC artists, Otto Schmidt. And it is an Alfred story, first and foremost. Batman Annual 3 by Tom Taylor and Otto Schmidt. I would highly, highly recommend. It has a really super generic cover, which is unfortunate because the entire thing is awesome. It's Alfred, Batman. Actually, oddly enough, with Detective Comics as well, Leslie Tompkins is back in the Batman universe in both of these comics.
Yeah, that's weird.
I haven't seen her in a while, but
must be something going on in the TV universe.
But this was a great story. It's basically just like just imagine a really good story focusing on Alfred. And Alfred and why Alfred is awesome. And Tom Taylor's a great writer, and it's just cool to have him doing Batman done in one. This was a big winner for me this week.
Awesome. Hellboy Winter Special.
Another huge winner for me.
Yeah.
This is three stories. One is has art by Ben Stenbeck. It's a New Year story written by Mignola. Then there's a Gabriel Ba, Fabio Moon, BPRD Hellboy story. Well, it's not really BPRD. It's Hellboy folklore. And then the final story is Tonsi Zonjic, who is the artist of the Lobster Johnson miniseries, and it is a Lobster Johnson storyline. Christmas era, Christmas time story featuring Lobster Johnson. Amazing art all the way through. Loved this. I think they overdid it a little bit on the covers, but you know, all of them are good. So pick your one. Cool. Pick your one of three covers and enjoy a badass Hellboy comic. Three stories for the price of one. Cool. Did you?
I did read Cthulhuese, okay. from the world of Blackhammer.
Blackhammer, Cthulhuese. It's a one shot. I loved this.
It's great.
It's awesome. So basically, in the world of Blackhammer, there is a golden age villain named Cthulhu, who is a guy who is a plumber and went into the sewers and happened upon a Cthulhu, or the Cthulhu.
He happened upon the actual Cthulhu.
And then he became a minion of Cthulhu and fed Cthulhu, and then eventually got tired of doing it. And
or just got too drunk.
Yeah,
he just became a drunk. Like a sad drunk.
Yeah,
but hung out in his house, like smoking cigarettes and drinking beer. And he has a sad old man Cthulhu looking guy.
Yeah.
He's got the tentacle face and everything.
Yep.
And he has a daughter now.
Yeah, and he has a daughter who is a Cthulhuese, and she has the visual appearance and name to match, and is bullied at school, and this is the story of her and done in one. Very kind of Twilight Zone-y,
yes,
kind of, you know,
just
wraps it up. But it's super fun, and the
art
was great.
But it's just fun.
Emmy Lennox, who I believe did art on another book with Lemire, but I'm not 100% on that. It's one that I didn't read.
Oh, didn't she do Plutonia?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, yeah. I loved that book.
I didn't read it.
Oh, it was really fun.
Nice.
It was very, like, it was like a really good version of Powers that was done in five issues.
Oh, cool. Yeah, well, she did the art on this, and it was really good.
And speaking of art that's really good, and a series that's really good, and a book that's really good.
Mega Ghost.
Now he's going to appear. Great.
Man, I hope he appears. He's awesome. He's a superhero who's a ghost of combining of three
he's
ghosts.
He's like a Voltron ghost.
This is just great. This is
summoned,
like,
by a mystical ring that was on a dead man's hand that was found in a box. It's like one of those books. You would probably only get it from Albatross, you know, like it's.
Yeah.
Albatross is awesome.
Okay, I don't know who the artist is on this, but the art is very much to me like classic Mad Magazine art.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like the movie parodies when they would do those.
Well,
like,
that's, I mean, whoever it is, I think that they've done stuff for Spookhouse.
Okay.
Which is very classic Mad Magazine stuff, only, and you know, until like the last, you know, 3 months, Mad Magazine's been absolutely god awful.
Yeah.
So, like, Spookhouse was an awesome version of Mad Magazine.
Yeah. So, basically, this kid stumbles upon this ring, and I do really love where the ring is, like, enormous. His fingers are small, and then he puts the ring on. He's like, it's a perfect fit. But he summons, then, when he puts on the ring, a chimp ghost, a pirate ghost, and a Grim Reaper ghost. And they are trying to get him to chant the chant, and he won't do it. But then, eventually, he figures out that he needs to, and when he does, those three ghosts combine into one mega ghost. And I thought, just great comic. Mega Ghost was a great comic.
Yep.
Super fun, super approachable, readable, everything that you want in a comic.
About
everything that
a
I
mega
want.
Ghost.
It could have been about anything. It just, like, it's for these guys, it was about a mega ghost, and they did it well. They did it right.
Yep.
The story is good. The art is good. The coloring is good. This is Gabe Soria, Gideon Kendall, color by Gideon Kendall as well, with assist by someone else, Michael Robinson.
It's great.
Really good. Really super good.
New Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman number 60.
Oh, man. This new Wonder Woman run is great. I'm really glad that this is happening. G. Willow Wilson, Carrie Nord. This is Ares is like figuring out why war is bad and is kind of like back trying to be like superhero-y kind of. And hijinks ensue, but it's more, it's not a silly book. The art is super good. I love it. I think this is the best Wonder Woman in a long time. And then there's a subplot with, like a griffin and a pegasus and a minotaur who have kidnapped Steve Trevor, which I like. As far as subplots go, I'm down. Tristan is currently flipping through Miles Morales Spider-Man number one, which was really good.
Like
really good.
Yeah, like special, really good.
I hated the cover, but yeah. Other than that, it's beginning to end, this was a great book. So this is
Saladin Ahmed, who is quickly rising the ranks of my favorite writers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's been there for me for a while.
This is, and I've always loved the Miles series. Like, pretty much I've been reading it, I don't know, pretty much since Ultimate, and I've always really enjoyed it. This might be my favorite.
This is cool.
Love this direction.
He's in college now. Everything you need to know about the character is in here, but done in a way that isn't just like, oh, here's another comic where they're recounting the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, they do it all. They hit all the points.
Such a good use of everything.
Yeah, and the artist is Javier Garon, and I just love the art style. I think this is a fantastic book. This is, Miles is in college. Some classic spider villain, and an interesting, start to, just like kind of, it feels like classic to me, like classic, like 80s, like Spider-Man kind of when I was first getting into Spider-Man. But yeah, you know, it's this character.
It's just really good.
Yeah. It was really, really
good.
That's it.
If you've ever wanted to get into Miles, this is the time.
Yeah. It's a great title. I'm going to talk about briefly Skyward. I still really like this book, although I still am struggling with this current arc involving large dragonflies. It looks like it's wrapping up, and I always want to talk about it. Skyward is, but this is the next arc is where I'm going to make or break me on Skyward. Like, I like it. The art is amazing throughout, but the story is treading water right now, and we're gonna see where it goes next.
Awesome.
Speaking of stories that aren't treading water, I don't understand the overall best defense reuniting of the Defenders thing, but there are two books out in that, and both of them are really good. Jason Latour's Silver Surfer, The Best Defense, number one, is Jason Latour written and drawn. It's a Galactus book with Silver Surfer as kind of like a man with no name. He's got like a poncho, and he's there's a kind of a character that's like a Yondu, like a Guardian of the Galaxy Yondu alien, and it's just super cool. And then but it's weird because it's like in the future. It's not modern continuity Marvel. It's like the Silver Surfer from the future. And then there's a Doctor Strange book. I can't remember who did this one.
This is Gary Duggan.
Gary. I think it's Gary. And then, Gary Brown and Jerry Duggan. Greg Smallwood.
It's Greg Smallwood and Jerry Duggan.
Not Gary Brown. Greg Smallwood. And this is a future version of Doctor Strange fighting future versions of other characters. But man, it was like, there's a part like in that where like, and it's in the first couple pages, to make the Eye of Agamotto work again, he pulls his own eye out and puts it in it so that it works and he can see. It's old man. Basically, this is old man Doctor Strange. And it's really, really, really good. It was a great done-in-one issue. And then apparently all of these are going to pull together and they're going to reunite. But I guess it's in the future. I'm not really sure. The overall narrative tie-in for these, but man, both of these best defense books from this week were super awesome.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah,
especially Doctor Strange for me.
Yeah.
But
Greg Smallwood is a great. Yeah, I don't know. I like them both. I think story wise, maybe the Doctor Strange did kind of edge it out. Art wise, that Silver Surfer book is
it's cool,
primo.
Yeah. So all this stuff's available on our website. We have the code subscribe, get 35% off. So if you buy, I think, 30 bucks worth of books. So use that if you want to get some of this stuff. We got a ton of it, ton of variants. As far as, I think 130 something new titles.
There were so many books. And there were some cool trades too. There was the Cave Carson trade. There was.
Marvel has re-released Welcome Back Frank again. Yep. as a Marvel Knights title.
Yeah, there was another omnibus, Grant Morrison omnibus of something. Maybe it was the Animal Man.
It was the Animal Man.
Yeah. And there were other things. I should really take photographs.
I should pay attention to these things. There are some other fun things out there. Some pretty cool Funko Rick and Morty figures that came out this week.
I didn't see those.
Yeah, you can. They're build a figures too. You can build the assassin.
Oh, cool. That guy with the weird face.
Yes, the guy with the weird face.
The tentacle face.
Yes.
Nice.
it's got them in the Purge suits.
Oh wow!
So that's cool. A couple of those. And also a Scary Terry. They made a Scary Terry action figure, which kind of rules.
Nice.
You also
had those Jason figures.
Yes, we've gotten the first part of the wave of the Savage Lands or whatever that Funko series is, where they made all of the slasher horror characters into He-Man figures, basically.
Yeah, it's like a He-Man Jason.
Savage World Jason is out this week. We'll be getting in Michael Myers and Leatherface and Pinhead and Freddy.
Yeah.
In coming weeks. We're slow on the uptake. I know people who have directs with Funko have that. We just go through Diamond because Funko is so hard to deal with. They're a pain in the butt. Thanks. Good. I'm glad. Finally got that in there.
He's been waiting.
I've been waiting for 30 minutes for that thing to go off.
The terror of the sad trombone. I was holding it and I pulled it off.
Good. Anyway, so there's all of those things. Tons more.
Yeah, we've got so many things.
Yeah, lots of cool Super 7 things in as well. We've got blind bags for Aliens and Masters of the Universe muscle figures. We've got the Aliens wave of the muscle figures that has like the power loader, and they're really cool.
Neat.
Yeah. So come in, check it out. We're going to list all this stuff on our website, coastcitycomics.com. Follow us on Instagram at @I'm Actually Comics.
I'll post this week, I promise.
At Coast City Comics, at Funbox Monster Emporium, at Funbox Monster Podcast. God, we've got a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
And so we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Good.